1984. I'm going very slowly on this because these are new words for some of you. They're not new ideas for the long listeners or subscribers to these tapes. But because they have culminated in the 20 years since John Kennedy was murdered, I want to take them, even pushing all the other news aside, as slow as necessary to get the idea across of what is happening, because you're going to see it boiling and bubbling over continuously from now on, unless you desire to take some kind of a stand or speak up and expose the planned occupation of the United States by Germany that is detailed in all these fine books, and decide that we've had enough already. I think it could still be done, but before the Gestapo and the swastikas and the boots come out. We already have the Nazi helmets that were introduced at the time of Grenada. They're the identical German Nazi helmets, and there's more similarities to Germany ready to surface, and the teams are well in place. Now, the Ronald Reagan, according to an article in People's World, described his link to these people, the revanches, and he said, the author wrote, this is Mark Allen, a good writer, he said that Reagan refuses to recognize the permanency of the Soviet Union. His role is to destroy it, to attack it from Asia, from the north, from the Pacific Ocean, up near Japan and Korea, South Korea, surround them and do away with the Soviet Union, that Reagan refuses to recognize it. That Reagan urged the remilitarization of Japan in violation of Yalta, Potsdam, and other war agreements. That Reagan encourages the reactionary and fascist emigre groups such as the Baltic American Freedom League, the BAFL. They surfaced at the time of the Olympic Games and took credit for not having the Soviet Union here. It didn't exist until the Reagan inauguration. He's been seen photographed with them. They're the driving force to keep this issue going, of course, on the West Coast, with hundreds of organizations of displaced emigre that belong to what you would call the revanchist group, who are revenging their defeat, not admitting anything went wrong in their country before the Soviet Union moved in. Reagan has established the Special Baltic Service of Radio Liberty, and this is propaganda, of course, and it is filled with people living they moved from the Eastern Bloc to work for the CIA and Defense Department. He wants to reinforce the distinct identity of the Baltic people to separate them from the Soviet Union. He meets personally with the leaders of this group, the Baltic American Freedom League. As I say, there's hundreds of them. And he recently signed a resolution recognizing the sovereignty of the three states that are now part of the Soviet Union. He signed a resolution recognizing them as separate states. Reagan talked to White House guests, as I say, August the 18th, and promised them that the Yalta Agreement would be thrown out, and he's moving in that direction. So the word revanchism comes from revenge of displaced people who don't like losing the war and are swearing to get back and have the assistance of the military might of Ronald Reagan, of Mr. Brzezinski. The point about Mr. Mondale getting elected is he worked with Mr. Brzezinski and Jimmy Carter and brought in the Polish Pope. They were behind the movement of the Polish Pope, the Auschwitz Pope, the I.G. Farben Pope. So while both parties have some differences, such as selection of Supreme Court justices and human rights, the basic thrust towards World War III is there with either party. It's just the fine lines between certain appointments that you have to recognize and be aware of. Now, just this last week in the New York Times, September the 2nd, there's a story, Moscow attacks Bonn. Well, there's nothing new about that, but it says that the Soviet Union, through their daily newspaper, the Pravda, launched a new attack on Bonn and said that they offered or warned, whatever you want to say, that if the East Germany and West Germany tried to unite, if they tried to liquidate East Germany, he warned this could set off another war. He, being the writer for Pravda, and I don't know who wrote it, but he represents the military and their opinions, because it was stated again on NBC News just this morning. They said that the developments indicate that there is a threatened peace in Europe, and They wrote that Bonn had adopted pan-German views, calling for the reunification of a divided country. And this means they're dreaming of the liquidation of the Socialist German Republic. The West German leaders want this. And this is in New York Times, September the 2nd, saying that this could set off another war, which would be known as World War III. Now, because of what is going on in escalating the speech, particularly of Ronald Reagan to the Polish on August the 18th, and other red-baiting by the president of Germany, Mr. Kohl, the trip has been called off of Mr. Honecker, which I mentioned before, to the West German area, which no president of East Germany has yet visited. They called off the meeting. Erich Honecker gave up the plans to visit West Germany. The warning relationship between the two Germanys, the warming relationship, was viewed as one of the most surprising and significant developments of post-war divided Europe. It sustained intensity of press attacks from the Soviet Union. And finally, September, just this last week, September the 5th, it was announced that the trip was definitely called off. The dates of the visit were put off, they said, temporarily, but I doubt if they will ever be able to meet for a long, long time. Now, preceding the agreement to visit West Germany by Mr. Honecker, the West Germans gave East Germany $330 million. And just a little while before that, it's a loan, but they'll pay it back like the Polish pay back their $50 million in the Vatican. It just goes into the till for weapons from the United States and propaganda and printing presses. The East Germans received $330 million, and just prior to that, they got $400 million. So Mr. Strauss and the far-right Nazis in the German government thought, we will give $700 million to a man, Erich Honecker, a gift he can't afford to refuse. He will come visit, then we'll talk about liquidating the Eastern Germany, part of Germany. Pravda said that Mr. Kohl wanted to use the Honecker meetings to reunite the two Germanys to create a united Germany complete with the territories lost to Poland and the Soviet Union of World War II. They want to go back to the 1937 boundaries that are on the maps in Germany that don't recognize what has happened there since the war. The Soviets have a lingering mistrust born of two world wars. This is from the LA Times. The West German members of the Christian right-wing Democratic Party of Chancellor Helmut Kohl were saying uncomplimentary remarks in the newspaper. Kohl couldn't muzzle his party, even though they had given $700 million. This is the Western view of capitalism. If we give you the money, you'll surely come and dance to our tune. The People's World had a long article, as I referred to it before, by Mark Allen, September the 1st, 1984, on Ronald Reagan's reopening the wounds of World War II. All of a sudden, a few writers are getting smart at what is happening, but if they followed it in any chronological order or read Sayers and Kahn a long time ago, they would have watched his progression for the last 20 years. I'm very happy that I do have the past 13 years of broadcasting on tapes in consecutive order dated, because if a person wants to read the transcriptions of those which for years Charles Spears has typed up, thank goodness that he's had somebody type them up for I can't remember how many years now, going back a long, long time. And I have the tapes of the earlier broadcasts, and everything on the air that I've had for 13 years has led to and suggested to where we are at the present time. Now, New Times from the Soviet Union, August 1984, issue number 34, has an article, The Witch's Sabbath of Revanchism, again, using the word. I heard, you know, just I was impressed today on NBC that they actually were able to allow that word on the air, even though they didn't define it for the listeners, but it was used by the Soviet Union. This article from the New Times expresses their view of what's going on. It says, Americans are encouraging revanches on every description of every description. The U.S. is obsessed with the idea of social revenge, equal revenge, for nearly 67 years. They will have no rest. They've had none since the chain of capitalism was broken in October 1917, the time of the Russian Revolution, when the Tsars were thrown out. that actually was a feudal system described by them as capitalism. And again, Sayers and Kahn wrote a brilliant book, The Great Conspiracy, that goes back to those days. And they consistently wrote up through the years of what was happening to turn this world into a place where nothing but arms and weapons would be used until World War III. New Times said today the United States is whipping up the revanchist sentiment. They repeated that again to further aggravate the situation in the Soviet Union. They want to recarve the political map of Europe, of West Germany and Japan. In Bonn, there's open talk about the restoration of Germany within the 1937 frontiers of the Reich. The neo-fascists are active in Bavaria, that's Mr. Strauss. The hardcore Hitlerite survivors, the neo-Nazi scum from West Germany, Austria, Italy, France are yelling German Reich. The Bonn government is feeding nationalist euphoria. The United States Pershings have added to the brazenness of the West German revenge keepers. The nuclear missiles that are deployed in violation of Potsdam and Helsinki's final act. The United States is synchronized with Tokyo and Bonn at this time. That's the Trilateral Commission, United States, Germany, and Japan, set up by Mr. Brzezinski and Nelson Rockefeller, the Rockefellers, who, of course, worked with John McCloy and Alan Dulles. The modern setup for the attack for World War III is the Trilateral Commission. It's anti-Soviet militaristic ambitions, fully in accord with the United States. The New Times says the Bonn publishes maps at the present time of the Reich that you can obtain with the 1937 frontiers. Remember, Germany invaded Poland in 1939. They want to go back to 1937. Tokyo publishes textbooks with northern territories. The Nakasone government, and Mr. Nakasone, prime minister there, is a friend and associate, worked closely with Henry Kissinger, and of course that would include Mr. Brzezinski and Fritz Kramer. They have revived the Japanese militarism. They're strengthening their ties with Washington with the Tokyo military axis. This time it's Germany, Japan, and the United States, and Germany's plans, of course, when this is done, and while it's done, is to take over the United States. That isn't in this article, but we'll go on to that. But that's the order in which Germany is moving. The article is the Japanese have what they call their self-defense forces. They're one of the best-trained, equipped armies in the world. Their military spending ceiling is already met, and they'll soon exceed it. Washington is proposing to station nuclear-capable F-16 fighter bombers on Japan territory. They will provide Japan with 189 kilograms of plutonium, enough to make nuclear weapons. The Triangle, the Axis, and the Crusades, they compare it to the religious Catholic Vatican Crusades, is reminiscent of 50 years ago. The policy of the United States has channeled Nazi aggression eastward. It has incited Japan against Russia. And then Konstantin Chernenko had this to say, quotation in the New Times, "The dangerous trial of strength, which the most reactionary imperialist quarters, primarily those of the United States, would impose on us, is not our choice, not our policy, but we know how to stand up for ourselves. Let no one have any doubts on this score. We shall be able to stand up for ourselves today, just as we did in the past." And I'm sure they mean Napoleon as well as anybody else, Japan that took away their fleet in 1905, Germany in World War I, and World War II, armed by the Allies. "We shall stand up for ourselves as we did in the past. History is testimony to this. We are not given to drawing direct historical parallels," he said, "but we cannot voice our concern over the present trend of world developments." This is all coming to a head right now at the present time. Now, New Times, the following issue, August 1984, they come out every week. If you want to subscribe, I can give you their address, or I'll put on the printed sheet, because it's really worth reading what is coming from the Soviet Union to see that they mean business. We're getting what Ronald Reagan says in this country, but if you want to know what they're saying, and they mean business, it's good to read that also from Pravda and their various newspapers over there. The lead article is, "Reagan is ready to go all the way. The reckless militarism of the Reagan administration." Now, Reagan is ready to go all the way. He's been programmed similar to Dr. Strangelove, but are you, am I ready to sit here and be blown up and charred because of this crazy fanatical idea? They can get along with the communists in China, they can't get along with the Soviet Union. This country has been targeted by Germany, by the corporations during the war, and detailed in that book, the great the plot to against the peace, and also the various books of sabotage by Sayers and Kahn. They detail the intention of the Western world to take Russia, and not coexist. And as they said in New Times, this has been going on for 50 years. Now, this article, Reagan Ready to Go All the Way, Reckless Militarism of the Reagan Administration. This is one of the speeches of Reagan, one quotation. One, we are at war and we are losing simply because we don't want to realize we are in it. And there can only be one end of the war. War ends in victory or defeat. Went on to say the armed forces has become in the United States the main political weapon. In politics, you have meetings or treaties or dialogues. Armed forces is our main political weapon. The vital interest is the code word. The name vital interest is the code word for intervention targets over the world. We have vital interest in New Zealand. We have vital interest in South Africa or Angola. We have vital interest in Grenada. There's vital interest in Argentina, having the Falklands and secretly arming Argentina against the British. Vital interest, according to them, is the code word. Just like in this country, national security is the code word to bypass Congress and the electorate. They go on to say, German Kaiser in 1918 said, and this is a quote, "If the enemy does not want peace, then we must bring peace to the world by destroying with an iron fist and a flaming sword the portals of those who do not want peace." There are two postulates, according to the story of Ronald Reagan's foreign policy. There are two postulates. One, communism is to be blamed for the unpleasant things that happen in Washington. Communism is the thrust of all speeches, all activity, all funds. Communism is to blame. And two, the only answer is to build up armed might to achieve a decisive superiority and an opportunity to use this might with impunity. And this has been the rhetoric, if you listen to Barry Goldwater or the Richard Nixon and Eisenhower or even Harry Truman or John Kennedy and all of them. Communism is to blame, and we will get the communists, and the emphasis has not been on domestic equality or peace or anything like that. Employment, housing, health. This is why I say when you have a nation where hospitalization costs $600 or $700 a day, when you have no medical care for everyone in the country, similar as they have in Canada, when education is so high, when you have no housing, and you have no recreation, or transportation is exorbitant, when you provide none of the basic needs for people, nutrition or anything else that makes this country better, when your sole concern is the communism and the building up of the armed might, this is exactly what New Times is talking about in the article. They said Reagan is thinking of a limited nuclear war and a protracted nuclear war, debating which one. He totally disregards treaties. In a West Point speech in May of 1981, that was right after he became president and soon after recovering from his shooting and accident, he said the argument will be over which weapons, not whether we forsake weaponry for treaties and agreements. He told them at West Point, it'll be a question of which weapons, not how will we discuss what is going on. May 1982, he signed a directorate, it's called number 32, and they evidently have a copy of it. And this is what it says in quotes. The Pentagon orders are to prepare plans and forces for a nuclear war strategy. This is a year after he told them at West Point, disregard treaties. We will force the Soviet Union to seek the earliest termination on terms favorable to the United States. This is part of Directive 32. This is a direct quote. This is done by inflicting the highest level of damage against the industrial and economic base of the USSR and its allies, so they have a strong incentive to seek conflict termination, short of an all-out attack on our cities and economic assets. The master plan is nuclear superiority, preparation for protracted nuclear war, the goal of prevailing and winning in the war. It is the vision of an apocalyptic nuclear war to decide once and for all the issues of world peace. And next week or the week after, I'm going into some very valuable information that was provided on this apocalyptic theory and Reverend Falwell and Ronald Reagan preparing for this. But in 1982, this was his directive. Translating it means we will strike by hitting their industrial and economic base. We'll have a quick action so that they will be forced to sit with terms that are favorable to the United States, which will, again, give up all your territory and move back and forget about all these Eastern European countries that are your buffer, because that won't be a buffer when you have the nuclear warheads aimed at them from the Scandinavian countries, from Asia, from Western Europe. You don't need a buffer of those nations to prevent World War III. Now, the Soviet Union, as I say, said this morning that no, this war won't be that kind of a war. It will be a war that should one of these things go off, they will retaliate and finish planet Earth. Pretty heavy stuff. They will finish planet Earth. Now, this article, New Times, refers to the MX program, which is a $70 billion program sanctioned for the Midget Men missiles just recently. This isn't the ships and the airplanes and the tanks. MX, $70 billion. $18 billion for 9,000 cruise missiles. And in March of 1983, the president presented what the Star War plan, designed by Daniel Graham from the Defense Intelligence Agency, partner of Fritz Kramer in Washington, and Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb. The plans, they'll start with $2.1 billion as a starter when Ronald Reagan is reelected. The budget is over $1 trillion for the Star War weapon. $1 trillion for that, $70 billion MX, $18 billion 9,000 cruise missiles. That's only a fraction of the weapons cited in this article. And they go on to say that the new NATO document that they have access to, it's called Air Land Battle Doctrine, Air Land 2000. This is an offensive, it describes the offensive work of NATO and the strikes at the Soviet Union hinterland in the backfield. Field Manual 100-5. It's compiled by the General Staff of the College at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Its emphasis is on the aggressive use of initiative, throw the enemy off balance with a powerful blow in an unexpected direction, and follow that up with a swift attack to prevent recovery. Quotation from the New York Times. It could apply, according to the Soviet Union, if they wanted to use it in Europe, after Europe, to North Korea, to Southwest Asia, to the Middle East. You know which countries would get it there: Khomeini, Iran, Gaddafi, and so forth, Libya. It could apply to those countries. The military would be empowered in advance. Part of this document, the agreement, is to use nuclear weapons if they want it. And, of course, the new head of NATO is British Lord Carrington, who currently also is the business partner of Henry Kissinger, Herr Kissinger. And he runs NATO and works with Kissinger Associates, with Mr. Eagleburg taken on as vice president of Kissinger Associates. The New York Times has an article, August the 20th, 1984, U.S. radio stations in Munich, new unrest. And there's a picture of the people who run Radio Liberty over in Munich, Germany, and Radio Free Europe. It says that the radio stations, Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty, went through a lot of agitation and dissent recently. Formerly, in 1970, they were upset with the Central Intelligence Agency that financed their broadcast, and this new statute severed the ties with the Central Intelligence Agency. They set up a board for international broadcasting in Washington, and then they made the president of it, James Buckley, a Knight of Malta, a Sovereign Military Order of Malta, family all CIA, and then they hired George Bailey, B-A-L-E-Y, former CIA officer who now runs Radio Europe, and George Urban, U-R-B-A-N, Hungarian extraction, who heads Bailey heads Radio Liberty, and the other heads Radio Free Europe. Now, recently, there was a problem at the radio station because they're supposed to carry the news to Eastern Europe of what's going on, But they suppressed the news story, which was a news story in Europe, that Ronald Reagan seriously said he was testing the mic, but it's been used in West Germany for other purposes that I'll go on to if I have time now, or else I'll start with it next week. They suppressed the story of Ronald Reagan's remarks that then came over Moscow and Prague and Budapest on the radio and television. And they, various people came to them and said, you banned from reporting to us Reagan's quip about outlawing the Soviet Union and starting the bombing on the Soviet Union. So James Buckley stepped in as the president of the two stations, and he said there was no intention to duck the issue. And the people in Europe are saying that these radio stations are keeping from the people in Eastern Europe and in Europe all over the world what is really happening in America. And in this case, it's their life that is on the line. Radio Liberty and Radio Free Europe, supposed to not have the CIA butt in. Of course, it's run by the CIA and the Eastern Europeans to keep this war going. Now, the Monterey Herald, it may have been on your wires, services also had an article this week by Soviet President Konstantin Chernenko. And he accused the United States of trying to dominate the world with raw military force. They're really coming out now and waking up like the bears they were supposed to be. They've been little lambs, I think, all this time. And now their ass is in the fire, and all of a sudden it's burning. And they're catching on in a way that I have never seen a response up till this time. It's about time. And maybe after the Korean Airline and Ronald Reagan's administration, they realized that this idea of war is serious, and that Mr. Lehman, Secretary of Navy, John Lehman, and the whole gang, Mr. Caspar Weinberger and George Shultz, are the people who are going to lead us to World War III. They said that he accused the United States of wanting to dominate the world, but it isn't the United States. If he would read The Nazis Go Underground or The Plot Against the Peace or Sabotage or The Great Conspiracy, maybe they would understand who's moving and running the United States, such as the Kissingers, Brzezinskis, and the Kramers, and the Nazis, the Galens, that were brought to this country. They said, hard as the U.S. might flex its military muscle, it will not manage to alter the world. He's warning now. It may burn up, but it won't be altered, so you better be prepared for that. You're not going to alter it. The United States agencies are now talking about space weapons, which shows that the United States wants to legalize their arms race in space. And he refers again to the West Germany planning the liquidation of East Germany. And again, in our wire service story, it says this could lead to war. That's another story. The New York Times had an article, and then it was again repeated. This was from the LA Times. This could lead to war, and also in the Monterey Herald. West German Chancellor Helmut Kohl said the government had, they accused him again of adopting the pan-Germanic policies and encouraged again the revanchist groups for the return of pre-World War II Germany lost to the communist states. The imperialist circles in West Germany, who dream of liquidating East Germany, if not today, tomorrow, if not tomorrow, the day after. That was from the Monterey Herald. And the LA Times said Washington officials are flaunting with open cynicism their great power ambitions. They claim the part of being the strongest or rulers in the world today. They represent the destinies of peoples, and they will dictate their will to all. They are obsessed by military force. They are simply using a sense, not a reality. The world has drastically changed, and force cannot resolve its problems. You cannot put the trillions and billions into weapons and resolve the problems. Now, finally, there was an article, also again in our Monterey Herald, I'm sure you got it on the wire service, it was covered over the Associated Press. Kill Russians posters are stirring a controversy in the German army, the American army stationed in Germany. From Frankfurt, West Germany, the United States soldiers have posters said, we're here to kill Russians. 10 copies of the color poster were printed, and one was given to Major Charles F. Briggs, similar to General Walker in Germany at the time that he was called down for politics, in July 1984 when he left Frankfurt. There's a drawing in there that resembles Briggs. He was the commander of the 1st Personnel Command in Heidelberg. Briggs is now Deputy Chief of Staff for Personnel at U.S. Armed Forces Command Fort McPherson, Georgia. The poster says, bears the words Office of the Chief of Staff. It was designed by members of the General's Unit. He took it with him to Georgia. Der Spiegel, the German newspaper, with a circulation of 1 million, linked the poster to President Reagan's controversial joke about bombing the Soviet Union. They said this form of superpower joke, which American President Ronald Reagan made popular with his microphone test, seems to be catching on with the United States Army. You know, I said that wasn't by accident. Hans Werner Kiltz, K-I-L-Z, the editor of Der Spiegel, said we could have printed the poster exactly the same way if there wasn't a Reagan joke, but the Reagan, in quote, jokes, to be printed. They don't know where they are, but they'll be circulating all over the world, I'm sure, for United States soldiers stationed in Germany. We are here to kill Russians. No longer. We are running out of space on this tape now, so I'll continue with this nauseating subject next week. This is Mae Bressel in Carmel, California.